When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast. This is Cormac and Taylor from the future.
From the future.
There'll be a few times throughout this episode where we may have referred to recording and filming. However, we attempted the filming and that didn't work. So this is just another audio episode, unfortunately. Hopefully, we'll figure it out for the next one. No promises, because this is all very much a learning curve for us.
Absolutely. So I think, yeah, the plan is obviously to do videos, but the plan is also for the videos to work.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. But this episode, Champions League special, we discuss the Champions League, we go through the brackets, kind of our predictions, our thoughts on each team, you know, who we think is going to win, basically. We kind of give our predictions at the end.
Yeah, just a quick run through race. Well, we spend a bit more time on other fixtures, as you can imagine, but mainly just going through who we think are going to progress the next round and then matching them up in the quarterfinals and the semis and kind of building our way through to the end of the draw with our potential winners to be, which you'll have to find out by listening.
Exactly. And you know what? I think this might be our better episode of the two. I think we did quite well to kind of dive into a little bit more detail.
Yeah, a bit more detail, structure. And, you know, like we say at the end, any comments or any topics you guys want us to cover, please just let us know. More than happy to cover anything going on in the football world at any time. So, yeah, thank you guys. And I hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah, perfect. Right. Two previous Cormac and Taylor. Thank you very much.
So, Cormac, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, let's jump into the Champions League, I think. So, the time of recording, this is Saturday. So, the draw was yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, midday.
Obviously, we saw this week. I mean, the big story is Matty getting knocked out, which is obviously hilarious.
Oh, so hilarious. And I think
completely outclassed by Madrid.
Yeah, they couldn't even touch Madrid. I think the second leg as well, Mbappe scoring in the fourth minute just completely
killed them.
I think Kucinov really struggled in the beginning. I thought he grew into the game. I thought, there was that moment where he caught Vinicius Jr. up for pace. And I thought that was a small glimpse for City fans to kind of cling on to. But outside of that, Madrid looked fantastic. Mbappe, that third goal was amazing. Yeah. I think that's everything they've been kind of wanting from him. I think now he's starting to deliver. But yes, essentially, hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah. Really
great to see. Good for the sport.
Absolutely. I mean, Madrid in Europe is different, isn't it?
You look at that front four. Mbappe, Vinicius, Bellingham, and actually my favorite out of the four, Rodrigo. I think they just I thought, and well, to shout out my shout out from last week, Fede Valverde, a right back, by the way, was just a machine, man. What a player. So yeah, they look well set. They look really strong going forward. I think the next, actually, should we start on that one?
Yeah, we might as well, right?
Yeah, whilst we're there,
go into Madrid versus Atleti, I think is going to be a tougher game for Madrid than most people, Real that is, than most people realise.
I think there's a duality when teams play teams they face in the league and the Champions League.
Yep.
So I think last round we saw PSG play Brest. Mm-hmm. And I think Brest definitely wanted anyone but PSG because that hierarchy's already been established. So obviously we saw the end result. What was the aggregate? What, 7-0 on aggregate?
Yeah,
might have even been more. And I think when that happens, that's really boring. But in the case of Real Atletico, they actually already have that like esteemed history in the competition.
For sure.
So actually, I think it makes a really interesting tie. I think Atleti this season have been really interesting. I think they've
really, the only team to beat Real this season as well.
Yeah, they've doubled down on the Diego Simeone principles. It feels like he's got this new iteration of the team and it's working exactly how he wants it. And I think they're having a really strong season. I think over two legs, they'll really be able to probably push Madrid more than other teams would be able to. So no, I think that's going to be a really interesting one. I think, Atleti could definitely cause Madrid some problems. Yeah. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think Real will do them, obviously, over the two legs. I mean, Atletico have only lost one in the last seven against Real Madrid. Like I said, they're the only team to beat them this season.
That's brilliant.
In the league. Mm-hmm. So it's all quite impressive there. I still think Real Madrid are just Real Madrid. And they looked really good against City.
I'm not going to pretend that I watch
La Liga week in, week out. But obviously Mbappe's just got better and better as the season's gone on. I think, was it 25 goals in the season now he's up to? Something like that.
Yeah.
And he's really growing. The Real Madrid fans love him now. I just think they're going to be too much for him. And I think Real Madrid will probably go through on that still.
Interesting. Okay, then I'll play devil's advocate and I'm going to actually go for an Atleti upset, I think.
Okay.
I think first leg. Is the first leg at home?
No idea. I'm pretty sure it's at Real, yeah.
Yeah?
At the Bernabeu. Yeah, will be. At the Bernabeu. Yeah.
So then second leg, Metropolitano. And I think, you know, if they can get the result in the first leg, I think they could really just double down in the home leg and the second leg and just maybe to do something. So I think for that one, we'll get different.
Okay, I like that.
It gets one of us will be right, so it's not too devastating.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so we can always win them, basically.
That's it. So okay. I think, yeah.
And then we'll, moving on from that, then we'll go to the other last 16, which will be meeting the team in the quarterfinal, which is Arsenal against PSV.
That's a tough one. I think PSV is a favourable one.
It was one of the nicer draws you could have got.
Yeah.
I'd like to think we'll get through easy enough. We did play them last year, the Champions League. We did beat them.
Yeah.
I think defensively, we're going to be too much for them. I don't know too much about the PSV squad. Obviously, it was last year when they had... Was it Van Nistelrooy who was in charge?
Yeah.
It would have been.
Potentially, yeah.
I don't know if I remember that correctly. But I think we should be hopefully too much for them. As it goes on as well, I don't know about Saka's progress at the moment. Obviously, he has had surgery on his hamstring, and that's not exactly an easy injury to come back from.
He won't be back for the first.
Probably not for the first leg. Maybe not even until the quarterfinals if we get through.
Yeah.
But I still think we're going to be too much for them. Marino might be the best number nine in the world.
He might well just be.
So I think, you know, CR7 in his prime. But I think Arsenal will be too much.
Yeah, I'd expect Arsenal to also come out on top on this. I think the gulf in quality between the Eredivisie and the best teams in the Premier League, which Arsenal are, is just too big. And I think
it's not going to be easy, is it?
Like, it's not going to be easy,
you know,
but I think it could have been a lot more difficult had Arsenal got someone else. So I feel that you getting PSV, you would expect it would be one almighty devastation.
Oh my god,
if you weren't to make it through. I think that it's a whole different story if you don't make it through. I think questions start really getting asked of what's going on at Arsenal. What's the overarching goal of this squad? Obviously mitigated somewhat with the injuries, but I think the team that Arsenal have should be capable of beating PSV. So you'd expect that. So I think this one's a pretty easy one on this not biased podcast at all, but Arsenal are going to annihilate.
They might be, you know, going through to the final. We might as well put them all the way through. Yeah. But okay, we'll put Arsenal through there.
Yeah.
Then going on to the other one, we've got PSG Liverpool, which is going to be a really interesting game.
That's a great game.
Really interesting game. What are your thoughts on that?
I am conflicted because it would be so hilarious to watch Liverpool go out.
It would.
But also it would be not equally, but just slightly less hilarious to watch PSG go out.
I think it's a win-win in the sense.
Yeah.
I'm glad either of them are going to get
Up.
By the way, this podcast is just Liverpool hate TV.
Yeah, no, this is not a good time to be a Liverpool fan. And
well, not if you're watching this.
Yeah.
I mean, PSG are really interesting. Very young squad, obviously. They absolutely battered Rest, didn't they?
That was just to be completely expected. I think, you know, they beat them in the league and then they're complete novices in the Champions League. Brest needed a complete unbeknown team to them for almost that shock factor to do anything.
Uh-huh.
So I think now PSG coming up against Liverpool, completely young attack now, completely reshaped the team. They've got two players who I absolutely think are fantastic. I think João Neves.
Yeah.
And Nuno Mendes, who plays left back,
are
just fantastic players. I think Nuno Mendes has just signed his new contract to PSG, so he's now
because
he's one of the left backs we were linked with in January.
One of the many left backs.
And I think if we'd have got him for that position, it would have been a transformational signing, because I think he's probably going to be, already, one of the better left backs in the world. So I think PSG having him and João Neves, who seems to be this complete midfielder who can defend, attack, it's pressure resistant, you know, a fantastic little engine.
How old is he as well?
He's got to be very young 20s, 20.
I'm not entirely sure.
Extremely young. You know, they've paid a huge amount for him from Benfica in the summer. And I think he's come in and just given them something that they haven't had. I think I heard a comparison that he's like the Portuguese Marco Verratti, the player that he is, the type of player he is and the role he's performing in their system. He's kind of carbon copied that and replaced with, well, instead of Verratti, now they've got Jan Evers, and it seems to be working really well.
So
I think it'll be really interesting, because I think Dembele as well. We have to shout Dembele out. He's
having a season, isn't he?
He's having a 2025. He's up there. His numbers that he's posting at the minute are just world best numbers, you know. And I think that's something you can't sniff at. He's always someone I looked at especially when he was at Dortmund, and thought, wow, this guy, he can dribble fantastically. Either foot makes no difference. You know, he's got an eye for goal. He's got an eye for the finesse. And I think he tailed off. And for whatever reason, he's now obviously moved to PSG and he's recalibrated. I think they worked a lot on his shooting. Okay. I think they found his shooting to be quite erratic, and I thought they found it quite important to try and refine it. And I think that obviously seems to be working, because he just is scoring lots of goals, playing extremely well. And I think he would pose a huge threat to Liverpool. I think especially if you matched him up against Trent, for example.
Sure.
I think that would, either Trent or Robertson.
Because
he has the capacity to play.
I
think Robertson's having a tough season. Mm-hmm. I think his legs are catching up with him. So I think whoever has to deal with him is going to have an almighty job. And then obviously Barcola on the other side, which, you know, I think he's a lot less consistent, but he also has the capacity to pull a moment out of somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think this PSG team, really interesting, really, you know, free-flowing, attacking, lot of inspiration, could cause Liverpool a lot of problems. You know, I think Liverpool's fixture list is congesting up at the minute. You know, they're coming off the back of some, by the time they played PSG, they would have got through that really difficult
period, a lot of games.
And they're all going to have to play all these games, and it could just be PSG have rested in the league, because mm-hmm. they're 10 points clear, I want to say.
Something like that. It's
a gap. So I think they have the capacity to rest and reset and be really prepared for the game. So I think it really could throw Liverpool some problems.
Yeah.
I think. So what's your, well, actually, should we just touch on Liverpool quickly?
Yeah, there's not too much to be said that hasn't already been said everywhere else. But I mean, Salah is having a generational season.
Yes,
at the moment, Van Dijk is looking as good as he's ever looked.
Better than ever.
That's it. And Gravenberg has been an unbelievable slotted in the midfield as well. And I think for me, those three are key for them.
Yeah.
If they stay fit, I don't think there's any reason why they couldn't go on to still win the league.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, at time of recording, they are 5 points clear.
Yeah.
Or, no, sorry, 8 points clear. Played an extra game than Arsenal.
Yeah.
Arsenal got West Ham today. But I still think Liverpool have enough in them to go and do it.
Yeah.
And also, just to touch on the league, obviously, talk about Arsenal, I don't think we have enough to go and chase them, is the main issue there.
Yeah, I think that's probably more so the issue.
Sticking on Champions League, I think Liverpool do PSG.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I think it's going to be really tough. And I think it is going to be really interesting. I think it's going to be probably the best tie that there is in this round.
It has the capacity to be a great two legs of football.
Yeah.
I think, I hope it doesn't stink the place out. I think, I really hope it lives up to the billing, because it could be really interesting. I think if both teams really go for it,
mm-hmm.
lots of goals, and it'll be, you know, opportunity for some great football. So I think, I agree. I think Liverpool will just do them, because I think this PSG team are quite inexperienced.
That's it.
They've had lost so much experience over the past few years. Now there's vacuum of experience in the team. I think Liverpool, their big thing is the experience. Mm-hmm. They've done this a few times now, and they've got the core set of players who can probably carry. So I agree. I think Liverpool probably is this one, but I think this one could be a really interesting one. Yeah.
All right. Yep. Liverpool through there. And then we'll touch on quickly. This is a bit of a less interesting time. No offense, Villa fans.
Yeah.
Villa Cup Bruges.
I think it's a great draw for Villa. I think,
I think they've got the nicest of the draws they could have asked for, really.
I think the goal for Villa being, you know, for the first season in Champions League in this format, you know, in recent history, I think it was so important for them to get the easy draw or the easier draw in the last 16, because it just means they want to prolong their time in this competition as much as possible, you know, for financial purposes and just for pure experience. I think the players will be better for it the further they get. So I think getting Bruges, I would expect them to beat Bruges, but also
potential Bernardo skin though.
100%.
Not bad Bruges.
I think you often find when
the Atalanta are a good squad, obviously.
Atalanta, I've always, you know, for a long time with Gasperini, I just thought played such expansive football. Obviously, they won the Europa League last season. And, you know, for Bruges to overcome them, I thought was, you know, a huge win. So I find when inexperienced, you know, especially British teams go into these European competitions and they get the supposedly easier draw, it's never actually that easy. I think it's...
Well, I think the British media, especially, we have such a bias towards English, which every country does, I think.
I think it's because we truly believe in the strength of the league.
Yeah, which we are. Yeah. Sorry, Spain. Right.
Sorry to double down.
But, yeah. But fuck you guys. No, I still think Villa are going to get one over on them, I think. Over two legs,
I think they would be disappointed if they weren't able to. So I think both of us going to go for Villa on this one.
Yeah. Look at us agreeing.
Yeah, God.
Right, moving on to the other side of the draw now. Benfica Barcelona, I think just touching on this side of the draw as well. So you've got Benfica Barcelona, Dortmund Lille, Bayern versus Leverkusen, Feyenoord versus Inter. A much nicer side of the draw. I think Bayern have definitely become the winners in terms of placement. Obviously, they're still got to win the games and beat the teams in front of them.
Yeah, I think.
But I think it is definitely a nicer side.
You look
side.
At the two sides, and I definitely think that looks more favorable. I think there's definitely the opportunity for a team which wouldn't have had expectations previously to go further. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting. What's the first one you want to discuss?
So, Barcelona-Benfica.
Barcelona-Benfica. Probably, you know, the highlight of the group stage iteration was the Barcelona-Benfica. Benfica being 4-2 up 10 minutes to go.
God.
Barcelona overcoming it, winning 5-4.
Yeah.
And just a great game of football for the neutrals. You know, 9 goals, can't complain. And I think, just based off that game alone, that was a psychological horror show. For Benfica, you know, to
lose like that is embarrassing.
Yeah, to lose a lead like that, even though it didn't really mean much, because obviously both teams are now where they're at. I just think that immediately gives Barcelona that swagger.
Yeah,
that
and they've looked very good this year.
They're having
Rafinha seems to be one of the best players in the world.
Rafinha is 100%. I think, you know, you break down the wingers, and if you were to put a top five right wing, he's definitely near the top of that list. He's in the list, and he's definitely in the top of that list. The numbers he's posting are fantastic. I think he's really developed his game. I think he's also one of the leaders in the dressing room, which I wouldn't have guessed myself.
No, I mean, if you look at his time as Leeds, he was more of a leader on the pitch.
He saved them from relegation.
Absolutely,
and I think obviously you can see his leadership qualities there, but apparently just inwardly in the locker room and everything, he plays a huge role in that. So I think he's really stepped into the shirt and really adapted after his first season and has actually took it all in his stride. So I think he's obviously, well, him and Lamine Yamal, I mean, come on.
I know. Yeah.
What player? I mean, what two players to possess? How did Barcelona do it? It's so frustrating. A team with worse financial, you know, ongoings at the minute than Manchester United, and they still somehow have two of the best attackers in the world right now. And and actually, to just quickly touch on Barcelona, a few years ago, I went and watched Manchester United versus Barcelona in the Europa League.
2-2.
In the Nou Camp. Yep, 2-2. Marcus Rashford had a fantastic game. But I remember...
Did he score?
No, that was in the away leg at Old Trafford. He scored winning... The goal to tie it up. And then we obviously went through.
Yes.
And because that game, I believe, Fred also scored. So we actually managed, in another world, we beat Barcelona.
That's you right now.
Yeah, with Fred and Anthony. Oh, so, yeah. Football, eh?
Football, that's it. Yeah. But, I mean, I think Barcelona are going
to... Oh, yeah, just to finish my point, I watched Pedri. Yeah. Pedri was just something else. I hadn't seen a player look so perfect for football in real life as I had watching Pedri play. He was just so elegant, so press-resistant, so assured of what he was doing. The eye for a pass was just fantastic, and I just think, yeah, what a player they have. They just have a really good team at the minute. And I think I would just based off that one game they had earlier on in the competition, I think there's very little hope for Benfica in that one. Yeah.
I agree. I think Barcelona will do them there going through to the next round, which will be the winner of Dortmund versus Lille. Dortmund have been absolutely dire this season.
And
I think the fact that they are at this point of the Champions League is, you know, credit where credit's due.
Yeah, I think they obviously started the season with Nuri Sahin as their manager.
Yep.
I think he outstayed his welcome. So, and that is the classic ex-player in a manager role they don't deserve.
I know, they keep him around for a little bit too
they
long.
They keep him around for too long and it just gets worse, thinking surely no, something's going to change. And it hasn't. And now they brought in Niko Kovac.
Yep.
And I think he's tried to steady the ship, originally had. And then I think the overarching problem with this team and something I've heard discussed is that it just needs a complete rebuild.
Yeah.
And I think they've had a an exodus of leadership leave that team. I heard that Mats Hummels was just someone who would permanently hold people to such high standards, and now obviously he's left. And I think now they say the most senior player in that dressing room is someone like Julian Brandt, and he doesn't have the same gravitas as some of the bigger leaders who have existed in that dressing room for last year. So I think they are just all over the place. I think they've invested in players which they thought could be something and haven't turned out, outside of, say, Jamie Barno-Gittens, who's obviously having a good individual season. I think the overall team is really struggling. They're, 10th in,
in the table Bundesliga?
They're just struggling. And, I think Lille...
beat both Madrids this season in the early stages of the Champions League. That's nothing to be sniffed at.
They've been that team, haven't they, in the group stage, who managed. I think they lost their first game and then obviously went on that run where they beat the both Madrid teams and really surprised everyone. So I think, again, a bit more of an unknown quantity, I'd say.
I think so. I still think, from what I've seen of them, I did watch highlights of that Lille Madrid game, the Real Madrid. I think they'll do Dortmund. I think Dortmund have just been that poor.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I think it's likely they'll be able to get
again, Dortmund were poor last season and managed to get to the final. So it's weird, isn't it? So who really truly knows? But I guess, I think I would prefer Lille to get through.
Because
it just feels a bit more interesting. I feel like...
I know what
Lille Borussia Dortmund is like classic rubbish round of 16 champions.
Is it always been... English stuff.
Maybe
again.
I just feel
it's good. Yeah. It'd be nice. I've always got a soft spot for Lille.
And they got my boy Angel Gomez.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who still hasn't signed a contract, so it looks like we'll be leaving at the end of the summer. They've also got Jonathan David.
Yeah, he's been talking about leaving for three or 4 years.
Yeah, and ever since he signed his 4 year contract 4 years ago, he's been talking about wanting to leave, and I think he's finally going to get that move.
Take with Arsenal,
Yeah, well, funny enough, I reckon. I was reading somewhere that West Ham very interested in him.
Of a striker. Yeah, if you go to West Ham, you are.
Surely he must have just read, I don't know, anything about how if you're a number nine and you go to West Ham and you're not Mikel Antonio, you are condemned to a life of failure. So I think he's going to probably, I don't think he's going to get that top Champions
League. It feels like that moment's passed.
Move.
It?
Yeah. He's still 24. I know it's wild. He's one of those names you've just heard forever.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to get his move, but I just don't know where. I don't think he's going to be a top four in the Premier League, for example. I think he would like to move to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see him maybe,
Ollie Watkins moves on.
Well, that's it. I was about to suggest maybe Villa come looking. He has Villa somewhat written all over him. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. All right, let's do prediction for that then. Are we saying...
I still think Lil will go through.
Do you? Okay. I think I'd be minded to agree. I think I'm going to go for Lil.
God, look at us just agreeing again. Yeah, boring.
It's going to be brilliant when every other team gets through. We got
every single one wrong. God. All right. We had to fire through these last few, I think, and then getting towards the end. We are talking quite a lot. That's what we're here for. Bayern Munich, Leverkusen. Another interesting game, actually. I think that'll be really good. Bayern Munich, I think going into the season, were kind of one of the outside favourites to go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
That second leg against Celtic, they look really slow.
And the first leg against Celtic, I thought they looked lethargic. I thought they looked like they had this dearth of creativity going on, which is crazy because their team has Jamal Musiala, who I just consider to be one of the guys in the world. And I think...
Could have been English, mate.
Yeah, it could have been, man. Imagine.
That's what this whole episode's about. It's a call out to Musiala and not being English.
And I think this year in the Bundesliga, Bayern are top.
Uh-huh.
And I don't believe it's because Bayern have been the best team in the Bundesliga. I believe it's because Leverkusen haven't been able to reach the levels that they were at last season. I think that's why Bayern where they are in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I think ultimately my gut is telling me Bayern are going to get through on this one.
I'm going to be a little controversial here. I think Leverkusen.
Yeah, the more I think about this one, I do think Leverkusen have the opportunity. So I think when they play them in the league, I think they just literally played each other in the league.
Unbeaten in the last seven Leverkusen against Bayern.
Yeah, and they drew. And I think...
That was last week, was it?
Yeah, it was last week. And Florian Wirtz, again, a fantastic player.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a fantastic opportunity in like the dying minutes of the game.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I think, take that across two legs. Leverkusen apparently played with more energy, tempo, and Bayern were just very content with the draw. I think I'm just something in me is not convinced about Vincent Kompany as a manager as well, especially at the helm of somewhere. Like, it seems like he's quiet in the noise that was surrounding him last season. But yeah, I mean, I would also be minded. I think I will go for Bayern.
Okay, I'm going to say Leverkusen.
Yeah, just to switch it up.
I want a bit of an upset. I want something. Yeah. Maybe this is me.
Yeah.
Better from last year, obviously.
In this Champions League, have Belgium in any international tournament ever written all over them, in that naturally, because of the name and the players, you think they're going to do well. Ultimately, I do think they're just not going to do it.
I don't think so. I agree. But yeah, so you're saying Bayern for that one.
Despite everything I've said about it, I will go for Bayern.
You still go for Bayern?
Yeah, yeah.
Even if we've just spent the last 5 minutes cycling them off. All right, then last one, Feyenoord Inter.
Feyenoord Inter.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, Robin Van Persie will give
sure, he's back.
He's just about, well, as we're talking now, it's almost to be confirmed that he's about to take over Feyenoord.
Yep.
I think, actually, funny side note, he is taking René Hack, ex-Manchester United coach, with him, who was under the staff with Erik ten Hag. So, forming the dream team.
Now, that is a winning formula, if I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, exactly, So, I think they just beat Juventus.
Yep.
Didn't they?
A poor Juventus, though, isn't it?
Juventus are rubbish. I think they're unbeaten in the league, but they've drawn maybe double figures. Yeah, they've double figure draws. So, just rubbish team, except they brought in Colin Moani, who looks like he's given something to them. Anyway, I'm not talking about Juventus.
Yeah.
Anyway, Feyenoord, Inter are just a good team. I think they are just one of the better footballing teams.
Really tough team. When Arsenal played them earlier at the San Siro this season in the Champions League, it was impossible.
They've got quality littered throughout.
They are so well organised, so well drilled. Mm. They are impossible to get through.
Yeah.
I think they've got such a good squad, such a good manager. Yeah. I think they'll be too good for Feyenoord. I think it will be an interesting game, in a sense, it'll probably be quite close, but I just think it's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's a shout out Bastoni, shout out Barella,
unbelievable.
Shout out Martinez. I was going to say Lissandro Martinez. Shout out Lissandro Martinez.
Just anywhere.
Yeah, shout him out anyway, man. I hope you're doing well. I hope the knee's not too ruined. But yeah, shout out Martinez. I think they just each section of the pitch, defense, midfield, attack, they have a world class player, and that is useful. Yeah. And I think that alone should take them through against Feyenoord. So I'm going to go for Inter on this one.
All right, nice. Okay, going on, right. Quarterfinals. We've spoken about most of the teams here, so we don't have to do too much time on kind of the analysis of it all. First one, I think we have Arsenal, Real Madrid. Did you say Real Madrid or Atletico for that one? Ooh, no, you did say Real Madrid, didn't you?
You know what? I've already forgotten.
So far, we should have made notes. Oh, well.
I think we went separate. As like devil.
Did you say Atletico? Did you?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, let's just do that then. So you did. Arsenal, I think Arsenal versus Real Madrid.
Arsenal lose. I'll say it because Cormac won't.
Oh my God, I love it though. Arsenal I'm getting lose. Flashbacks and to Henri at the Bernabeu.
Bro, it's 2025.
Oh, no.
You sound like a Man U fan.
Maybe worse.
I think, I think for you guys, either Atleti or Real, I think you're just going to lose.
I mean, we have more of Atleti just every time we played them.
No,
Europa League like 9-10 years ago, and absolutely Griezmann just did a fortnight dance at the dire moments and scored the winner. I've never been so just distraught after a game.
I do think that, I think it's bad news for Arsenal.
I think it probably is.
Yeah.
I would love if we could just put up a fight, especially against Real. I think if we could really just do something.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, though, if we get a result at the Emirates, let's say the first legs of the Emirates, I don't know which one it would be. I think I'm not sure. But it would be, you'd see the most disgusting game of football in your life.
Oh, no, at
the
Bernabeu. 100%.
Second half against Man City.
Yeah.
Everyone behind the ball, the entire 90 minutes. Six at the back, or wherever the fuck we're playing. All 6'3".
It would not be one for the ages. I still don't think Arsenal could do it.
No, I think
you have to back them.
But no. I think you're right. I think, let's say we both said Real Madrid in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Just stick with that. I think Real Madrid go through to the semis there.
I think you have more chance against Real Madrid than Atletico.
Interesting. Go on, then.
I think the way that, I think they'll counter your dark arts and an out dark arch.
They are the kings of that.
I think they will bruise you guys up and cause you a lot more problems. I think Real Madrid defensively are there to be got at for whatever reason. I think against Man City, they really struggled because Haaland wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. So that's why there was really very little chance creation. I mean, Mikel Merino, this, you know, running into the box like there's no tomorrow. Absolutely. You never know. So I think you'd have more of a chance because I think Real are more defensively fragile.
Sure. Well, they just kill you with goals, I don't think.
Yeah, that's it. But you have a fantastic defense.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah. City at the minute, their whole defense has outside of Ruben Diaz, has lost all their experience.
Yeah.
So, you know. Sure.
Let's just say Real Madrid then. Okay. For semi-finals.
Yeah.
And then the other side, we had Liverpool and Villa.
Oh, God, that'd be... Villa Park for that game would be
absolutely
insane. I think, sadly, I still think Liverpool will win. But it will be a good atmosphere before the game picks up. You've got
a Villa hat on, is it not?
Yeah, yeah. No.
No, yeah. I think Liverpool.
Yeah, that's a bit of a fairly comfortable. Yeah, I think Liverpool would get that one over the line.
Barcelona, Lille, I've said.
Barcelona, I think that's... says itself. I think Barcelona will. I believe probably Barcelona will be the team that gets out of that bracket favorably.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Not to predict the future right in front of you. Yeah. But
I said for the next one, I said Leverkusen, you said Bayern, and then we both said Inter.
Yeah, Inter. I still think probably Inter is going to come out of that probably
over Bayern.
Yeah, I say so. I really don't believe in Bayern.
Okay.
I really think that something's going to happen to them, which is their comeuppance is coming.
Yeah.
Be that against Leverkusen, which would be arguably so much funnier.
Yeah.
You know, not that I'm posting in Germany or anything like that, but I imagine to the German layman, that would be absolutely hilarious. But also, I still think they'd lose to Inter. So yeah. I'm going to go for Inter.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Leverkusen playing Inter here. I think Inter.
Yeah.
And just for the sake of keeping it all square going into the semi-finals. Mm-hmm. Right. So semi-final one, Liverpool, Real Madrid.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go Real Madrid because
you can't not back.
I'm not putting Liverpool through to a final.
No, I refuse that. I refuse that as well.
If the gods have it, let it be, but I'm not going to do it.
I just don't think you can doubt Real Madrid. Nah. Especially in the later stage of Champions League. I think they've got some... That's the real dark arts.
Yeah.
Whoever, whatever they've had to sacrifice
for
them to be that good. Bellingham score a winner against Liverpool, wouldn't that be sweet?
That would be hilarious.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, that would be absolutely fantastic.
And obviously the narrative of Trent obviously going to Madrid. Joining his best bud Jude instead of the other way around, which Liverpool fans are absolutely adamant that, agent Trent's going to bring our boy Jude home he's going to go the other way.
Back onto the Liverpool hate. This is great.
Yeah, I know.
Can't help ourselves.
I agree.
Real Madrid to the final. And then the other one, we've got Barcelona, Inter.
Ooh.
Which actually has the potential to be quite an interesting
tie. Yeah, that'd be a fun game or a fun tie. I'm going to go for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Just because I really want to have an El Clásico.
Oh, God.
That would be...
For the first time in...
Because as well, Barcelona have annihilated Madrid twice now this season. So I think that'd be great.
Yeah. And then, right, there you go. Speaking of then, final. Who have you got? Madrid-Barca.
I'm going to go for Barcelona.
I'm going to go for Barcelona as well.
Ah, yeah. Look at us agreeing.
God, what mind. How interesting is that, eh? No debate. I mean, this is probably more heart over head. Maybe.
I just desperately don't want Real Madrid.
I don't want Real Madrid to win as well.
First iteration of this new format, system. This new Swiss model. I just think how boring it would be if they've done this massive change and Madrid still win it.
No.
So I think I'm going to have to say Barcelona.
Like you said, I think based off the fixtures they played this season as well, Barcelona they beat them twice.
Yeah, massively. Yeah. You know, five goals and whatnot. Yeah. So I think. Brilliant. I think we should save the Europa League chat for another day.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, quickly, you mentioned it there, the new model.
Yeah.
What's your feeling on it then? What are your thoughts on it?
I haven't minded it.
I've quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that last match day where it's lots of people will move in and out, I think that gets quite interesting. Ultimately, a lot of it is already... It's already done. Yeah,
I'm
selfish. I prefer the extra game. Away, so it's four away days rather than three and three. So I think the extra game's cool, but I actually haven't minded it. I think the way that this draw's been done and everything, it's interesting. I think it's good to know who's playing everyone, and it just makes us and our predictions so much easier. Mm-hmm. So when we get it all right, or actually chronically all wrong,
it'll be interesting to go back and see how we've done here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we've made these predictions before.
It could make or break us. it could be the one. So I think, what's your thoughts? Enjoyed it?
I've really enjoyed it. I think, like you said, that last day of just kind of chaos. I mean, was it against City playing Club Rouge and they went 1-0 down? Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, that was
that fun. Was really fun.
Yeah, that moment where they were just locked out.
Yeah. That's very City, anyway. Actually, isn't it? To go 1-0 down and make things interesting and then help to get fucked.
So,
brilliant. But yeah, no, I've enjoyed it, I think.
Yep.
So we'll leave the Europa League for now, will we?
Yeah, we'll touch on the Europa League in a future episode.
Which I know will be hard. We'll run the conference.
I saw Chelsea got Copenhagen, and that's the only thing. I looked at the remainder of the teams.
The bracket of that is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
It's depressing. And all I'm going to say on it is if Chelsea don't win it, that will be hilarious. And that, I think that's just a great way to end it.
I think so. Here's to Chelsea's demise, basically. Right. Thanks for listening again or watching. We've got another episode coming out tomorrow or Monday, which will probably be a review of the Premier League and all the kind of ins and outs of football over the last week. But we just wanted to kind of touch on the Champions League, really.
Yeah.
Give our you know, expertise and thoughts.
Give our takes and give our predictions. So, thank you for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. And if there's anything you want us to touch on, please let us know. We're very open to covering anything in football.
So, like, subscribe, review, share with family, and friends.
Share it everywhere.
I think, you know, this is just a bit of fun for us, but the more people that we can get to watch, I think would be really good fun. But
thank you very much, guys.
Cheers.